Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of The Wave Wire. My name is James, joined by Tim, as I always am. Tim, how are you
today? I'm fantastic today, James. Got a lot of things coming up in the Wave Wire.
It's exciting. It's Western Conference and Eastern Conference semi-final time.
Semi-finals,
correct.
What a movie.
That is correct. Semi-pro.
Yeah, what a movie. James, there's a lot of previewing to do. A lot of basketball has happened. Not really. But there's a lot of basketball to come.
A lot of basketball has happened.
There's been two games.
Three. We'll be discussing the three games that have taken place. And we'll be discussing what we expect to come from the rest of the series and, the reaction from how the first games have been played. So,
just a quick thing, James. How many game sevens do we reckon is going to go in this semi-finals?
Oh, you put me on the spot here, Tim. Honestly, I see one. One series going to seven.
I don't want you to say who it is just yet.
I'll leave that for later. What about you? How many do you see going to seven?
I see three.
Three?
I see three going to game seven. If there is an if, though.
If?
Probably most likely two, but there is a very good chance for three.
I know which one's not going to seven. Golden State, Utah. Or was it the one you had going to seven? No, we'll discuss it.
I didn't have them going to game seven.
Yeah, neither did I, so we'll reveal that later. It will be revealed later in the show.
All right, James. Who do we want to start off with?
We'll start off with Cleveland versus Toronto, Tim, because I find this is an intriguing. This is a very intriguing matchup.
I'm very surprised you didn't start with Houston.
Well, we need to get all these other series out of the way in the next 20 minutes or so. So we have 40 minutes to talk about how good James Harden is.
Okay.
All right. So we'll start off with Cleveland and Toronto, Tim. So first of all, Cleveland gets the game one win, as expected.
How good was that LeBron dunk? The Curry off the backboard to LeBron.
I thought you were about to say, how good was LeBron stealing the beer from the waitress?
That was pretty good too. That was a bit of a weird moment.
I mean, there's still 2 minutes left to go in the third quarter. It's kind of disrespectful, I would think. But LeBron's a king, he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. No, in our books, he's all good.
Oh, they ended up winning the game by 11 points. So, it's all good in the end. But Tim, it's interesting because, so last year, the Raptors were never really in it. They did manage to sneak two games off them last year, but they got blown out in every single game by about 30 points in all their losses. So I think the result will be similar for me this year, Tim. I'm expecting a 4-2 win to the Cavs. And that's just on the back of LeBron James being LeBron James and just doing whatever he wants, really. There's no one from the Raptors that can compete with LeBron.
I can't believe you just said that.
Said what?
Who is Serge Ibaka, James? Is he not playing with the Toronto
Raptors? Listen, I was just about to finish. So, Serge Ibaka is important to this series.
PJ Tucker?
But he can't stop LeBron. PJ Tucker is also important to this series, but he can't stop LeBron. DeMar DeRozan is a lot better than he was last year. And Kyle Lowry, I don't know, maybe he's not going to freeze up. Isaacile.
Classical,
Isaacile, whatever you want. Isaacile.
Well, James, if you could do the maths, I said at the beginning of the show, so there's four series.
Yep.
I said there's three going to
game seven, and deciphered that it wasn't Golden State and the Jazz. So,
but I did have an if on one of them.
Was this the if?
No, it was not. This is going to game seven. This is 100% going to game seven, James, in my eyes.
So you're gonna go. So are you gonna plan this? So I'm just gonna be like, is this the if? No, it wasn't for all the series.
Well, it leaves a bit of a mystery. It leaves a bit of a reveal.
That's all right. Now people actually have to listen to the end.
Okay. So the thing that I like and hate about the Toronto Raptors is the same thing. When Lance Stephenson did that layup that was disrespectful to them, all of them went and confronted him. I didn't like that.
Yeah, neither did I.
But it proves to me that at home, they're not a team to be messed with. They rally around each other. If one of them goes in, even if they may be wrong, they're going to go for it.
Yeah.
So, the same thing happened in, I can't remember what game, I think it was game three against the Bucks when DeRozan, he didn't like what Giannis did, what he blocked him.
Yeah.
And again, they all went with him. They all went with DeRozan, even though they knew it was wrong. They talked some real smack to Giannis. And for something that he didn't even do anything wrong by celebrating a block. But that shows that their team, they're tight. They're a pretty tight team.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that either team is going to break their home court.
So you just think...
I think he's just going to go home.
Yeah, so the Cavs
will win four. I think that's just how it's going to go down. Purely because Ibaka at the Air Canada Centre, he's a monster.
Yeah.
He's a monster.
Small ball is the key to this series, isn't it, Tim?
It's going to
when
have
a Barker's at centre, that's what they need to compete with the Cavaliers shooting. So, the Cavs, their strength is three-point shooting, and LeBron, that's what they are. So, Toronto, if they're looking to counteract that, they need... You can't counter the three-ball... Say, you know, Cleveland's got, I think, 19 three-pointers it was against Toronto. You can't get away with a win if you're only scoring six. That's a 13-point difference. The percentage you have to shoot to counteract that is insane. So they're going to have to shoot threes. And that won't happen with Valanciunas on the floor, Tim. The spacing isn't good enough. And he doesn't, you know, he's kind of a waste out there because Ibaka can provide exactly what he provides at center, but he provides a stretch five kind of option. So I think Serge Ibaka's minutes at center will be key for Toronto getting any wins in this series.
As we noted earlier, Palm Tree Nogueira
has
not been receiving minutes.
Didn't even check in.
At all.
Didn't even check in.
So the Serge Ibaka trade has effectively pushed Nogueira out of the rotation.
Yeah, Valanciunas only played 20 minutes in the first game. Ibaka played 32. The majority of those would have been at center.
So you'd have to say about 28 of those are at center. Four of them are at powerful.
Yeah.
By that means, unless someone else...
Well, they did start together, but they didn't play too much time together after that. Ibaka, I think he split his minutes pretty evenly between the power forward and the center spot. I was going to say slot and then spot, so they said spot.
But by that, it doesn't really matter. The fact is that they are a much better team when they're playing Serge Ibaka.
It's pretty simple, Tim. They're much better when Patrick Patterson and Serge Ibaka are playing center because they have that stretch five option and it makes a huge difference.
It takes some of the people off DeRozan, and Lowry. It makes
you just mix their names together too, didn't you? DeRozan.
It makes you move off them because you're scared of what Patrick Patterson and Serge Ibaka can do to you.
Exactly.
If you're leave, so for example, you got Valanciunas on the floor, you got Damari Carroll, who's a serviceable three-point shooter at best.
Yeah.
And you've got Serge Ibaka probably on offense trying to stretch the floor at the power forward spot. But
the thing is, when he plays power forward, he spends a lot of his time inside on the elbows as well.
Trying to make room for Valanciunas to get a move. And then you've only got Kyle Lowry, DeRozan, and DeRozan likes to make a move from mid-range as well.
Exactly, inside the paint.
So, you're right, there isn't much spacing, and they need Patterson, Ibaka, DeRozan, Lowry, and probably PJ Tucker, really, all standing outside the three-point line. Then DeRozan, if he wants to get to work, there's no one inside the arc to get in his way unless Ibaka's pounding in the paint. Because Patrick Patterson ain't taking a step inside there. Yeah. You can't shoot a three from inside there, can you? So, honestly, if we're going to talk about this in DFS value, I don't see Patrick Patterson having any value, even though... He's very important.
Serge Ibaka, for me, is the number one Toronto player in this series.
He has to be. He's got to counteract Tristan Thompson while also scoring threes on Kevin Love, because I think that's what they're going to have to do, to switch on him.
He's the most versatile player for the Raptors, and he's the one that they'll kind of throw around out there to switch up, you know, the matchups. He's the one who can defend multiple positions, he can shoot the three, and he can play with the big boys inside, so he's very versatile. That's when it comes to Kyle Lowry and DeRozan. They've got to hit their shots.
They have to.
That's what it comes down to. They've got to hit their shots. Kyle Lowry, and we've talked about this for a long time when looking at the Cavs, Kyle Lowry is one of the worst point guards at defending a three-point shot in the league, and it's not one of Kyrie Irving's strengths. So it's probably lucky for him that Kyrie Irving, you know, he's probably just an average three-point shooter at this point in his career.
I'd say
he's above average.
Maybe above average.
He's above average.
Just. Kyrie's a decent shooter, James.
Sorry, that's my mistake. I'm thinking of last season where he shot 32%. He shot 40%.
That's well above average.
So, yeah. I'll take that point back. That's my mistake. So, Lowry's in trouble, Tim. Lowry does not defend the three-point shot. He's, you know... He tends to... I've noticed when defending the point guard, he tends to pick up the ball handler a little bit late. He lurks just inside the three-point line a little bit too deep. And, you know,
if he was playing on Dame, he would get torched.
Dame, Harden, Curry, those players who are happy to run down the floor and just pull up for a three, Kyrie Irving's been known to do that as well.
Get torched.
Exactly, because they just have the wide open shot, and that's what they like. They like stepping into it, you know, they like stepping into their three. So,
just like you, James.
Just like me. So I think, for me, this is what it comes down to. It comes down to LeBron James Kyrie Irving, Serge Ibaka, and I'm gonna chuck in a little curveball here. I'm gonna say Norman Powell.
Norman Powell.
I think he's good value off the bench. He started against the Bucks. He's gone back to the bench, but I think Dwayne Casey is gonna have to realize at some point Norman Powell provides exactly what Damari Carroll does on the defensive side, but he's more of an offensive threat than him.
I think Norman Powell was genuinely thrust into the starting lineup to shake things up.
Yeah. He's better. I honestly think he's better than Damari Carroll. I know there's a lot of Raptors fans who would agree with me on that, and that Damari Carroll should be shipped out for Norman Powell to start a small forward. I honestly think Norman Powell could be a difference maker in this series for the Raptors, and a difference maker in your DFS side of 5,000.
Just before we get onto the DFS side of things, something I wanted to bring up. I'm not sure if I talked about it in the last show, but Norman Powell posted an Instagram photo, you know, saying like he was out in the club or whatever, and someone commented on it, why does Dwayne Casey only play you when his contract is on the line or when his career is on the line? And Patrick Patterson liked the comment.
Yeah. Could be in trouble, Dwayne Casey, at the end of this year.
Now, I just talked earlier about Team Harmony. Are they revolting against the coach, James?
I have heard that the players do not like the coach. I have heard those things. I'm not sure how true those rumours are, but I have heard the rumours that apparently they don't like the coach. So we'll see at the end of this year. Look, honestly, I think they're can you see them getting past the Cavs?
No. Exactly. As I said, home court. No one's going to break their home court. The only one I can see breaking their home court is the Cavs, obviously.
In game six.
Toronto is not going to break Cleveland's home court.
Yeah. So I
win in the land, James.
So I see. Look, honestly, Casey could probably get fired at the end of this year. Not fired, but they could work in an amicable situation where they'd part ways, you know.
Well, look, the way I view it, I said just before that there is team harmony. Now, this could be because the team is much closer because they dislike the coach and they're going about their own thing, so they've become much tighter that way. Or it could be that they like what Dwayne Casey's doing and they're doing it that way. But they learned a lot of things from last year's playoffs. They learned that they needed to rest Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan because they were cooked.
Yep.
They were absolutely cooked last year. Do the other players not like the impact? Well, sorry, probably the favoritism that DeRozan and Kyle Lowry get, even if they're playing shit.
Oh, well, that's what you experience in most teams. The star player, they've proven game in, game out that the best player.
But they haven't proved their clutch. That's the problem.
Kyle Lowry has during the regular season, not in the playoffs.
Doesn't matter during the regular season.
Can I just say, I have one more point before we move on from this game. The fact that Dwayne Casey hasn't decided to start Serge Ibaka as the center, and Valanciunas coming off the bench against Channing Frye, I'm bewildered to say the least. Because I think that is a matchup that, you know, they could absolutely exploit. We've talked about, you know, DeLon Wright and Corey Joseph aren't, you know, they're capable ball handlers and everything, but they're not sparks. They're not
going to. Corey Joseph's been shit.
They're not going to win you a game, are they? On their own.
No.
Maybe once in every 25 games they'll win you a game. So Valanciunas playing at the centre against Channing Frye. Channing Frye's not going to be able to handle him inside. Down low, he's going to bully him.
All right, James, we've got to talk about DFS now. We have previewed this game. Now, our old friend Smatho, who's apparently still playing DFS, probably one of the only ones left. I don't think there's many people playing left. A lot of people lost all their money for the year.
Yeah.
So
obviously, they won't listen to our podcast anymore.
Smatho just messaged us on Twitter the other day. He said, is it worthwhile doing a cheeky 7 players from the Cavs stack? I was quite bewildered. And I replied and said, there is no value outside the big three, James, of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Absolutely. Channing Frye.
Can you make a case for there being someone else?
Channing Frye on the off day will have a good one. Kyle Korver.
Richard Jefferson.
Kyle Korver on the off day will hit 5 threes or something. But you can't pick it. That's the thing. You can't pick the day.
Can't pick it.
And also, you cannot rely on 4 other Cavaliers players having that much of an impact that you can stack more. Honestly, can't. If you want to stack Irving, LeBron, and Love, there's not got no qualms. It just means you won't be able to get the best player on that day in James Harden.
James, we're not talking about
Houston. So for DFS, Tim, give me 3 players that you think are most important in terms of value and points output. So not necessarily the highest scorers, but per dollar.
I think we've already talked about this.
So Serge Ibaka is number one.
Serge Ibaka is number one.
Absolutely. I have
He's about 11,000 in draft stars. probably about 6,000 yeah, in DraftKings, and he's going to put up 40s, hopefully. On his home court, even better.
Yeah, so absolutely, I think Ibaka's number one. What about number two? It's got to be LeBron, surely.
I'm having LeBron. No matter what his price is, LeBron is
the man. He had 35 and 10 today.
He's the man. Now, the third option is a bit harder.
That's why, see, this is where I differ from you. I'll let you go first.
It's not Kyrie Irving.
No, it's not.
He may score points, but he doesn't get assists.
Well, he had 10 assists today.
Yeah, but that's a one-off
thing. Yeah, I know.
That's a one-off thing.
Kevin Love will get you, you know, just 20 under 20 points and just under 10. Yeah.
20 and 10, that's what Kevin Love's going to good. And that's good. That's a decent thing. If his price is still about 17,000,
probably not good enough.
The amount of shots that he takes, it's, well,
it's probably not good enough.
I mean, I would love to have Kevin Love on my side, but if there's better options, I'll probably miss it.
Anyway.
The third person, James, I know who you're going to go with here, because I'm assuming we both have one and two the same. You're going to go with Norman Powell, aren't you?
Yep, I am indeed going with Norman Powell.
You're going with Norman Powell? I think I'm going to have to go with PJ Tucker. Well, you're a bit outraged, all right, I get it. He's 5,000, James.
I'm leaving the studio, Tim.
He's 5,000, James, and I think, I just think that, especially at home, when the Raptors are at home, Dwayne Casey has to realise that if he wants to stop LeBron James, PJ Tucker needs to be on the floor with him. And that's 35 minutes of time for PJ Tucker, where LeBron is, he's a good player, but he might, you know, he might take a position off on defence. Yeah. He might not rate PJ Tucker's offence. And I don't know about you, but I actually don't mind PJ Tucker shooting corner threes.
Yeah, but offensively, I don't think throughout the game he's going to be providing enough to be worthwhile.
Steals? Blocks?
I don't think he's going to be providing
rebounds?
Enough. Just, this is your opinion, this is my opinion.
Steals, blocks, and rebounds, and 3-pointers. I think he if he's 5,000, I think he can definitely get 25 points. He's not 5,000, though.
He was. He's 7,000.
Still, but anyway, right. I reckon he can hit 25 points.
I'm just going to say, I believe Norman Powell to be more important to Toronto's playoff run than you believe PJ Tucker to be.
Yeah.
I think, well, that's enough. We've talked about this for too long. We'll talk about Boston and Washington now. So the key, they've played one game already and Boston won by 10. But the key for me, so, the thing with the Celtics is Isaiah Thomas. Yes, he's their offensive spark plug. Yes, he does everything. When Rajon Rondo was playing, the Celtics had nowhere to hide Thomas defensively. Rajon Rondo could go at him, or they put him on Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade would go at him. He's not going to have that opportunity to be hidden on Beal or Wall, is he?
No, because John Wall is, as I've spoken about it a couple of times, he's in almost MVP numbers form.
He's probably been one of the best players in the East.
I would be hesitant to say he's second.
Behind LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron has to be number one. Everyone was thinking Isaiah Thomas was one of the MVP candidates. Don't sleep on John Wall.
For me, I would have gone LeBron, Wall, Thomas. That's my...
I think, no, that's how I'm in the East, yeah.
Yeah, my three best East players this year.
And then Harden, Westbrook, Leonard, Durant.
Yeah, probably.
I would have Leonard over Durant, purely because Durant missed about 14, 15 games.
But yeah, and Wall. It's good to see we agree.
John Wall, 32 points in 15... Seems to be a regular stat line. Just seems to be a regular.
It's not bad, is it?
Seems to be a regular stat line. And when you're doing that in the playoffs, I mean, look, Dennis Schroeder, again, a defense inadequate defender.
Yeah.
At the point guard position,
just got cooked.
Boston don't have the same rim protection as Atlanta do.
It's interesting because Al Horford. Did you see? There's a NBA math on Twitter.
Yeah.
Post those things. Al Horford was their leader in most offensive points added by an absolute mile in the first round series.
Offensive.
Exactly. Defensively, he wasn't too bad either.
Yeah, but look, John Wall is the quickest point guard.
Yes.
Is there a question about
no.
that?
No. No, no, honestly, I think John Wall is going to be... John Wall is the number one player in this series for me.
When he can get up the court in almost... Well, probably 1.994 of a second.
Yeah.
Probably. I think it's like about 2 seconds he can get up the court. That's how quick it is.
With or without the ball?
With the ball. Once they throw it into him, if he gets it at the three-point line to laying it up, it's about 2 seconds. Maybe two and a half. Isaiah Thomas won't even have time to turn around. Because if he's laying it up at the other end, he's not going to run. Look, let's be honest. He's not going to run back. just to get cooked by John Wall and Deacon.
No, he's not.
So I think John Wall's just going to penetrate. And
if I think he's going to... That's what I think. I absolutely agree with you, Tim. I think John Wall's going to have what he wants.
The most important thing, I think, here is how they place Al Horford. Now, Brad Stevens is probably one of the better coaches in the league. I'd say he's top five.
Yep.
I would genuinely say he's top five. He's smart enough to know that Al Horford is going to have a massive impact on defense as well. I honestly think Brad Stevens is smart enough to create a system where Al Horford will always be able to monitor the paint. I think because he can get a block. Let's be honest. He can be good on defense. He just hasn't been hanging around that area because he hasn't needed to.
He's not an elite defender by any means.
But he's big enough. He's got size.
Yeah.
And if John Wall's coming at him hard, he could probably turn him away.
Stick your hands up and jump straight up and down.
And I think the other important point to note here is that Otto Porter has been terrible.
Yeah, he has been. He's been poor.
He was probably the first 30 games, he was the early candidate for most improved. And after that, he's gone quiet.
Before Jokic took over.
Giannis. Yeah, Jokic isn't playing in the playoffs, we don't need to talk about him. Okay? Otherwise, I'll just go on a roll.
Well, Tim, how do we see this series playing out?
Now, James, we're talking about
We were talking about one game. There was an if about it going to Game 7.
Ask me, James. Is there an if in this series? There is no if.
There is no if in this series.
So I think you know what the if is.
So now. That means this is going to 7 games?
This is going to 7 games.
And why is he going to 7 games, Tim?
John Wall and Isaiah Thomas are going to duel. Straight out. It's going to be a straight out duel. Isaiah Thomas is going to score. John Wall is going to score. Bradley Beal is going to score. Boston getting points is the problem. Now, Boston are...
Their bench is going to be big, I think.
Boston are historically probably one of the worst first seeds in a long time.
Yep.
In a long time.
I would have to agree with you there.
I think that, yeah, you're right. The benches are going to have to be good.
Because Wizards' bench, let's not...
It's Bogdanovich. He hasn't been fantastic.
It was horrific before Bogdanovich came.
It looked like a world-class move, let's be honest.
Yeah, then Brandon Jennings came in and he hasn't been... Good.
He's been fiery. He's been
serviceable.
Been fiery. But I think Boston's bench absolutely outclasses Washington's bench.
And it may be down to Boston's bench to win them games. You know, Jonas Kurepko, Kelly Olynyk.
Kelly Olynyk's been poor, hasn't he?
Marcus Smart. These players, they're not necessarily better individual players than the players coming off Washington's bench. But as a unit and in the Boston system, they play a lot better than Washington's bench does, Tim.
Do you reckon the bench is not only is Boston's bench going to win it for them, but do you think the battle of the benches is what wins the series?
Honestly, I do think it can come down to the benches. I think there's so much depth in the Boston bench that they'll give Washington trouble for 48 minutes, whereas Washington can only give Boston trouble for 36. Well, John Wall may have to play 42 minutes, and so will Bradley Beal.
But that's going to cook them for the long run, even if they do win.
Exactly.
Who wins this series, James?
I've got Boston beating the Wiz.
Really? In how many?
7.
Oh,
this was my game. This was my series that came down to 7.
Your only series that came down to 7.
I'm saying 7. This one's going to 7, and it's looking like Boston gets them in 7, Tim.
You know what? I'm going to go with the underdog. I'm going to go with the Wizards. I've still got the Wizards making the finals.
Yeah.
Well, I reckon they can beat the Cavs too.
I don't think Boston can beat the Cavs in 7. But no, I think the Wiz can beat the Cavs.
I don't think Boston can beat the Cavs in 7. LeBron will just destroy that. But that's for later. That's for later in the year. We're not talking about that right now. All that matters is John Wall and Bradley Beal are gonna go crazy. Let's be honest. Their future and probably the impact over the summer of getting a new free agent depends on how they play.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, not only... Because Washington is a young team. Let's be honest. John Wall and Bradley Beal are about, what, 25? I think it's about 25. It doesn't really matter. But they're on the... they're definitely under...
They're not 30 years old.
They still haven't hit their prime.
Yeah.
Their prime age of about 27. They still haven't hit that. They've got something brewing down there in Boston. Scott Brooks, if he doesn't get fired again.
In Washington.
That's what I mean. If he doesn't get fired again, Now, originally, I thought that Scott Brooks going to Washington was, you know...
Not the greatest move.
No, I thought it was a universal sign for Kevin Durant is coming home. He coached him at OKC, James. I thought that's how it was going to be. If Golden State win, what do you reckon the chances of Kevin Durant moving on to the Wizards are?
Zero.
Yeah, I think me too. I just want to, you know, the story. Yeah, it's all about the story.
The story.
I think that depending on how... If they get to the conference finals, if they win this series and get to the conference
finals... I reckon they'll beat the Cavs. I think the Celtics will beat them, but I think that if the Wizards beat the Celtics, they'll beat the Cavs.
How big is this, though, for them getting a player, a good player in the summer? Paul Millsap's available, probably. Most likely, Paul Millsap is available.
Yeah, if they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals, they'll be in contention for a big free agent. But it's the thing is with the Wizards, they don't need a big free agent. That's not the thing they're missing. They're missing bench depth. But you can never go. You can never go. So a player like Paul Millsap, you can never go wrong, can you?
Well,
it pushes Markieff Morris to the bench.
Yeah. Pushes Markieff to the bench. Can you imagine that? Keith and Bogdanovich off the bench.
Brandon Jennings, it's alright.
Pull in a decent point guard.
It's not a bad bench.
And then all of a sudden,
Paul wants to come play backup for John. You know what?
Emmanuel Mudiay, send him over to Washington. Gee, that'd be a good bench, wouldn't it? Can we do loans? Can you do loans? Loan him for a year to get some playoff experience?
All right, Tim, give me your... So you've got this going to seven.
I've got this going to seven.
Who have you got? You've got Washington winning. So tell me your three most important DFS players for this.
No, you know, I'm not going to do my three most important. I'm going to do it on different things. So we're going to go... First of all, we're going to go on...
Why are you changing up the structure, Tim?
Just listen. It's three people, all right? That's, number one, we've got output. John Wall. Has to be John Wall.
Yep.
There has to be.
Yep.
There is no.
He's number one, regardless of his price. He's number one.
32 and 15 is. You have to have a mini team for that. Value. Now, I don't think you're gonna like what I'm about to say.
If you're about to say Marcin Gortat, Tim.
No, I'm not gonna say Marcin Gortat.
Yeah, that's alright.
No, I'm not. I'm sticking with him, even though he burnt me every game last season, the last playoff season. Now I think you know who he's gonna be, do you?
I've actually got no idea.
Jay Crowder.
No. I have no queries, no qualms. He didn't play too well in the first playoff
season. No, he didn't at all. Marcus Smart started taking all his minutes, which annoyed me even more.
But I think he's better than Otto Porter. So I think he can take advantage of that, I think.
Jay Crowder and Otto Porter have similar stories in how they progress. They've had just one 30-game stretch where all of a sudden that light comes on,
and
they are one of the eye of the NBA, they are one of the better players in the league. Now, I think Jay Crowder is probably a year past that moment now. Last season, I think...
Still not bad.
No, I still think he's got room to grow. He has to find the consistency.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Otto Porter needs to find his consistency as well, because he's been hopeless. Jay Crowder... Otto Porter's a good defender, yes. Jay Crowder, spacing the floor, John Wall, Bradley Beal going at it, Isaiah Thomas already being a weakness. I'm not sure if they don't put Jay Crowder on John Wall. I'm not so sure if that doesn't happen. Because, I mean, if Isaiah's going to be a liability straight up, might as well chuck him on Otto Porter, who is having a horrible run from three.
It's probably somewhere that's probably somewhere you can hide him on Otto Porter.
You know what?
That
could be a system. And honestly, I think John Wall is going to have a hard time getting past Jay Crowder if Jay comes switching over.
Yeah, no. If he gets him on the switch, obviously Crowder, Bradley, and Smart are their best perimeter defenders. Yeah. So they're the ones that Wall will have trouble with. But I think Wall's speed and agility, he's still going to eat.
Maybe Jay Crowder slides on down to Bradley Beal and Avery Bradley slides over there.
But he's still going to eat in this series, Tim. So, and your third player.
A third player? So, it's a mix. Probably just, you know what? I'm going to go with Al Horford, James. You've got 110 rebounds. Probably one of the best mistakes that the NBA box score has ever made. 110 rebounds.
Well, wrong after all, Tim. I'm happy to admit defeat when he can go get 110
rebounds. If you get 110 rebounds, you can silence the rumours. No, seriously, Al Horford needs to have a big series for them to get over the line.
Yeah, he sure does. And Marcin Gortat.
James, I don't want to talk about DePaul Gortat. He's very on and off.
Yeah, very inconsistent. So,
Ian Mahimi, just quietly.
He's very important to this team.
Ian Mahimi is very, very important. If he can get some game time, he can turn it on. In 22 minutes, he got like seven steals. 5 rebounds, 12 points, and like 3 blocks.
The only problem is he's injured.
He can't get on the floor, James. Yeah,
are you going to ask me for my 3 players? You're going to be rude. You're just going to be rude.
Who are your 3 players?
Number 1 is John Wall. Number 2 is Isaiah Thomas. because I just think they're the two best players in this series. And John Wall and Bradley Beal's defense.
Isaiah Thomas scores at the detriment of his defense. Absolutely.
So, well, Isaiah Thomas,
he's going to have to make up those possessions.
Exactly. He's got to have to score. So I think Isaiah Thomas and John Wall, they're the best players in this series. And for that reason, they will be the highest scoring DFS options. My third one, Tim, I don't know how you're going to feel about this. I reckon Markieff Morris actually might have a good series against Boston.
I'm no qualms. No qualms. What's Amir Johnson going to do? Tell me.
Exactly. That's my thinking.
Jared Green's been starting, but still.
Yeah. So I just think the matchups favour Markieff, and I think Washington may have the edge, you know, starting lineup to starting lineup. I think Markieff Morris is a part of that, and I think his ability to score, you know, when the pace is slow and they're trying to grind out some points and long shot clocks and shooting late into possessions, I think Markieff Morris is the kind of guy who kind of flourishes in that. He's been taking a lot of field goal attempts, Tim, and I think he could have a good series. Now, I am leaving out Bradley Beal from my top three.
I did too.
I think Avery Bradley does a number on him, Tim, in this series.
You reckon?
Yeah.
We called the lockdown last series, and it didn't happen. Bradley Beal locked down.
Nah, this is now he gets locked down.
He gets locked down?
Yep.
Does he take 20 shots? That's another big question.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. Alright, well, James, we're halfway through. So, you know what? We're going to take a quick break, chuck another good song, and then we'll be right back.
Listen to the wave wire.
My life is incomplete. I need a drink. Yeah. The devil's bartending. Got the sinner special going. Nah, nah. Yeah. Nah, nah. Hey. Devil's bartending, got this in this special going, nah, nah. It's a miracle that I'm here, somebody make a movie. I'll die in the beginning and they'll make a bunch of money, but I'm listening. I'm a strapping young lad, I'm bad, I can give them what they wanted. I'm horny and I'm young and I'm strong and I'm dumb, but I'm loyal. So buy me while I'm cheap. I need to go where everybody always knows my name. My life is incomplete. I need a drink. Yeah. The devil's bartending. Got the sinning special going. Nah, nah. Yeah. Nah, nah. Hey. I need a drink. Yeah. The devil's bartending, got the sinning special going, nah, nah, I swear to God, one of these days, I'ma get beat sober. Nobody will love me, I'll be ugly and completely forgotten, yeah. I'll be healthy, I'll be depressed, my family will be happy for me. There will be no movie, be no glory, just a simple life, yep. I'll probably live longer, fucking start a stupid family. Sweet bartender, don't let a bird forget how to fly. So sell me while I'm hot. I need to go where everybody always knows my name. In a special going, nah, nah, yeah. Nah, nah, hey. I need a drink, yeah. The devil's bartending, got this in a special going, nah, nah, yeah.
And we're back. That was Prof
with Sinner's Special, James.
So, Tim, you're back listening to The Wave Wire on Dash Radio.
At The Wave Wire 1 on Twitter. Golden State Warriors versus Utah Jazz.
So that's where we're heading next, I think, Tim.
Now, this is interesting. So, first comment I want
to
bring up.
This is my first question to you.
Was this your riff? James. I think we already know. We already brought it up in the...
It's not going to seven.
It's not going to seven.
Unfortunately, I would like it to go to seven.
Let's just get these out of our... Let's just get this out of the way first. What's your prediction for this series? Let's lay it out bare what we think is going to happen.
Warriors in five.
Warriors in five.
Five. Interesting. I'll go on the same as you. I do like the Utah Jazz, but they're just not there yet.
So my issue with the Jazz, they have the defensive personnel to stick with the Warriors and keep them to a low score, but they don't have the offensive weapons to keep up with them, regardless of what they keep them to. The Warriors, you know, I can't remember what they ended up with, but they were like the number one offense and number four defense or something. The defense is not just, you know, it's not just that they're blowing players out, teams out with their offense. They do that. But their defense, the defensive systems are very good, and Draymond Green is a huge part of that.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant's very long and rangy and very athletic. Klay Thompson's a very good defender. And Steph Curry fits in well. They find a place to hide him, and he does well in his part in the system. So yeah. I think for me, this is actually going to be the slowest-paced game, because I believe the Jazz... It's not necessarily.
They have to lock them down at all costs.
Not necessarily the slowest paced game, but if you're trying to get what I mean, this will be the low scoring game. So there'll be a lot of missing, a lot of, you know, tightly contested possessions. Klay Thompson shot 14% from three during the series, but it was plus 26.
14%.
And when they played for the season series with the Jazz, he shot 14% from three.
That's not good.
And he was plus 26. So that's honestly, Utah can stop them defensively. But they just can't, you know, they can't score. Their offensive rating was 74 this season against the Warriors, Tim. It's not enough to win you basketball games.
They have to, as we just said, Jed, they have to lock them down at all costs to win a game. There's going to be one game where it's going to work, but how I see the Utah Jazz at the moment is they are a newly formed San Antonio Spurs, but they don't have Pop at the helm.
Yeah.
That's how I see them at the moment. Yep. Quinn Snyder is quite honestly, he's becoming a Greg Popovich coach-wise. Not antics and banter-wise, but coach-wise, he's getting there. They need a couple more seasons. I think they need two more seasons, and then they're going to be dangerous.
They need a couple more offensive weapons.
This season is just... It's all about the system. They get there on their system.
Yep.
Right now.
So they get there on Rudy Gobert's defensive brilliance. They get there on their ability to switch on anyone and defend them effectively. They can defend anyone, really. They can't keep up with the scoring. So this... There'll be one game this series where...
Gordon Hayward's going to go off for it.
That's what I mean. There's going to be one game where Gordon Hayward will go bananas and George Hill will have such a good game that propels the Jazz to a win. Maybe that's in the third game after they've gone down 2-0. Maybe it's in the fourth game, the closeout game, to prevent the sweep. But it only happened... I can only see it happening once, Tim, honestly.
Now, there's many matchups in here that can be exploited. The thing that I want to talk to you about now, I don't think we're going to pick the same thing here. Who is the most... important matchup, not for DFS, but to win this series. Who is the most important?
To win this series, it's Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert. See, I knew you were going to say that because you think that centers is the weakness of Golden State Warriors, but I think they can effectively stop that.
Draymond Green at center.
Exactly right. Once you eliminate Zaza Pachulia and have Draymond Green playing small ball, yeah, Rudy Gobert is going to be there. He's going to be stopping anything getting to rim, but the Warriors don't go to the rim when they're playing death ball.
Exactly.
They just throw it around on the three-point arc. And I think that's where it's going to come down to George Hill on Stephen Curry.
Yeah.
George Hill must stay healthy.
Yeah, you've got to wear out Steph Curry. It's been proven that's the only way to stop Steph is to make him work defensively every single possession and wear him out a little bit, and maybe he'll, you know, instead of drilling that clutch three-pointer at the end of the game, it'll rim out if you're lucky. That's the only way you can stop Steph.
See, George Hill is an amazing defender at the point guard position. He's an amazing defender.
Yeah.
I reckon he can stop Curry at least twice, but I don't think... Curry's going to get off the leash at least twice.
And someone... The thing with the Warriors...
He didn't even have to get off the leash for them to win.
The thing with the Warriors that annoys me, it's always annoyed me, especially as a Rockets fan, is the fact that, you know, George Hill can play the game of his life on Steph Curry. Gordon Hayward can play the game of his life on Durant.
But then Klay Thompson will go ballistic and score 72 points and they'll win anyway.
Exactly. And Joe Johnson, just quietly...
I saw Joe.
...is my number one pick for this series in terms of DFS output at his price. Yep.
Really?
I think he'll be... I think Quinn Snyder is going to realise they're going to have to make a few changes in terms of scoring, because they... You know, what the Jazz do is... They work the ball around. They're very methodical in that they work the ball and they're very disciplined. They'll look for the perfect shot.
So they won't, you know, with even if there's 10 seconds on the clock, they won't, if they don't think the shot's right, they'll keep moving the ball. They're happy to get into 2-3 seconds to go. And it shows up because it's really frustrating because, you know, you play 21 seconds of good defense and then they still find that man and they...
3 seconds to go. Yeah.
And they hit the shot. But I think Quinn Snyder will realize you can't play that game against the Warriors because they'll play 24 seconds of good defense, they'll go up the other end and hit a three, come back, get another steal, hit a three, and that's game. That's how quickly they can turn the game against you. So,
how important is Andre Iguodala to this series?
Exactly. He's another very important player to this series. Off the bench, his three-point shooting and defense will be huge for the Golden State Warriors. And when they go small as well, it'll be massive.
Now, we've talked about players who are very important to the series, but we need to talk about the DFS value. I don't see Andre Iguodala again having a DFS value.
We can't...
30 minutes and he puts up 5 and 5.
Yeah, it's
we do love a quintuple single, but... You know what? You got to put up 5 stats to get 5. James, you got to get a quintuple single, and he puts up 3. He may put up 5 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists, but it's just not good enough, James. It's just not good enough for you to factor him into your DFS side.
Yeah.
So who? Okay. In terms of, well, I'll go back to my original question since you ruined the structure in the last one.
No, it's okay. We'll go back to the structure.
First, so number one, your number one player in terms of value per dollar.
Value per dollar. I'm going to have to go with Draymond Green.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Timothy. I think he had 13,000 on Drafters. He comes in 7, 8,000 on DraftKings and FanDuel. You can't go past him with that price. He really does everything. He's the engine for that Golden State defense and offense. You know, he'll hit his threes. And, you know, he was caught.
That's the thing. He has the ceiling to go massive. Massive
and get 70 or 80 points.
It's not that you're... Say, for example, you're getting... Rudy Gobert. Even if he can have a massive game, he's got a ceiling on 50 probably.
Yeah, because 25 and 25.
If you get 25 and 25, yeah, you're going to get about 50.
Yeah.
Even though they are massive numbers.
Yeah.
The ability on Draymond Green to just simply just go nuts and get 60 to 70.
Because the steals and the blocks really add up.
Yeah, exactly. And he can fill up every single category, including turnovers if he's on a, if he feels like it. But... His ceiling is simply what you have to put in your team.
Yeah, exactly. I think, just to, you know, he scores 10 points, but he's able to get 10 rebounds, he's able to get 10 assists, he's able to get 10 steals, we've seen that. He's able to get, maybe not 10 blocks.
Maybe 7 blocks.
Maybe,
maybe 7.
Yeah, but that's, he can do it all, and I think points for value, he's, you know, and he's the one also, when they're blowing teams out, he's the one they leave out for that extra bit of time, and he plays the most minutes in those games.
You know what, James? I feel like we've had a lack of gags so far in this podcast, so I'm just going to leave you with one right here for just before we talk about the last two good players, yeah, and then we'll move on to the next series. I think Draymond's going to leave the Utah Jazz a little green.
Why is that?
They're going to be a bit sick, James, because he's going to leave them hungover when he puts on a big stat line. He's going to leave them a little green.
Green with envy, would you say?
No, I'm just saying green because they look sick. They're all going to be green colour because, you know, they're the Utah Jazz and they're green.
Okay. Hopefully the listeners laughed. So
I
didn't.
I just came up with it on the spot. I need to just... we can't all be basketball, James. You've got to... Come on.
We need to work that in, some more jokes into the script next week.
Yeah. That was a terrible joke, but... Number two. We need to light the mood, didn't we?
Number two.
If people switched off, I'm sorry.
The analytics will be telling me at the 45th minute of marketing. All the listeners started dropping out because they hated your joke. But anyway, tell me, who's number two for you?
Pure output-wise or just second in the...
Value for money. Dollars.
Always the dollar. It's going to have to be Klay Thompson.
Again, Tim, taking the words right out of my mouth. He's only
about 11,200, I think it was.
We're looking at the cheaper players, yeah, I think. That's... Yeah. And, you know, he scored 60 points in 3 quarters, Tim, so we've seen him do it. And I think George Hill will be focused on Steph Curry. Gordon Hayward's going to be focused on Durant. Derek Favors will be focused on Draymond Green. And Gobert's going to be pulverizing Zaza.
Just before we go on to the next series, make a quick case for getting Gordon Hayward. Can you? Can you make a case for getting him in your DFS lineup?
See, this is something I've been toying with. I guess Golden State, Tim. No, I'm gonna be authoritative when I say this.
Yeah, that's what I want you to
do. Against Golden State, Tim, I will not be picking Gordon Hayward in my lineups.
I'll be picking Gordon Hayward in two of the four games. Four, five games.
When they play at home?
yeah, when they play at home. I think that he's going to have to go off. And to get their W, he's going to have to go off. So you're going to... Honestly, there's going to be one day that you're going to win and go, I'm going to go for not try and win every single day. I'm going to go and try and knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
And I think when Utah play at home, Gordon Hayward's going to knock it out of the park.
Yeah. Well, and who's number three, Tim? Joe Johnson.
For me. Joe Ingles.
Joe Ingles.
Value for money, James.
Joe Ingles is
value for money.
A very good basketball player.
I don't
player.
Think we need to speak about anything more about that.
And he's going to get paid!
Anyway, James, we're going to move on to your favourite series. Now, the question you need to ask me, was this an if on going to Game 7?
By process of elimination, I can deduce
that this is the if.
This is the if.
Absolutely, this is the if, James. Now, let me talk you through how I think this series is going down. It gets to Game 5. Right? Gets to Game 5. Because there is no possible universe or realm the Spurs do not win a game.
Yep.
That just doesn't happen.
So what's the score when it gets to Game 5?
Now we're in Game 5. We're 44.7 seconds to go.
We're back in... let's set the scene. We're back in San Antonio for Game 5.
We've got 44%...
With scores locked at?
No.
Scores locked at?
44.7 seconds to go.
No, I want to know the season series, the playoff series scores, Tim.
Well, at 5, Game 5 would be 2-0, wouldn't it?
Not necessarily. That's what I'm asking.
It's going to be 2-0.
2-0.
No, sorry. It's going to be Houston at 3-1.
3-1 for the Rockets.
It's going to be Houston at 3-1. We're going to be going into Game 5. Kawhi Leonard has the opportunity to take over in these last 44 seconds. Spurs are down by 4 back in San Antonio. That's a big scenario.
He hits 2 threes.
Now, he hits 2 threes, as you said, correct. Yeah. He hits 2 threes in back-to-back possessions. After Lou Williams turns it over in back-to-back possessions. No, am I wrong? Is this frankly not the case?
No.
Okay.
Can't argue.
Exactly right. Now, we whittle it down to... We've got 3 seconds left on the clock. It's locked at 110-all, because that's a frankly outlandish score for either of these teams to score in this series. Am I correct again?
Rockets scored 129.
Yeah, but it was a blowout.
Yeah, anyway.
110, I think, seems to be the way this is going to end. And... It's going to be 112 Rockets, 110 Spurs. The if I have here is, does Kawhi Leonard hit that shot in Game 5?
Of course he does. Of course he does. He doesn't miss.
So I'm saying it goes down to Game 5, shot, last shot of the series. If he misses, Houston win. If not, it goes to Game 7. I don't think there is a case that Houston wins Game 6. There is not a case for me where you win at home Game 6 if you're up 3-1.
I think
if you lose Game 5 in a situation like that, that's it. You go to Game 7.
But you know, so you're telling me that you think if the Rockets get to 3-2 at home, close out game opportunity,
Game 6,
that we're in all black for the funeral of San Antonio and Greg Popovich, you're telling me they don't get the job done?
No, you don't. Now, this is where it gets even better.
It's interesting because I was just about to say
Houston in 6.
The only two outcomes I see happening here are the Rockets in 6. So the Rockets in 4. If the Rockets win the next game, Tim, after they absolutely pulverize them, if they go up 2-0, that's it for the Spurs. But okay, that's in a fantasy land. The only two scenarios I see here, the Rockets in 6 or the Spurs in 7. I feel that the Rockets need to be up 3-1. They need to be up 3-2. They need to go into their house. They need to go into their house and they need to say, you know, James Harden gathers the boys around and says, you know what, we finish it tonight. They need to finish it in Toyota Center, because I think a Game 7 on the road in San Antonio, probably one of the hardest places to go play, behind Oracle Arena for a Game 7, I just don't think they can get the job done.
Now, this is where you need to listen to me, because my story is not finished. My narrative. You know how we love a good story, James?
Yeah,
we love a good narrative.
Story. I love a good story.
We love a good narrative. Now, this gets to Game 7, correct? If this gets to Game 7, this is probably historically going to be one of the best Game 7s in the semi-final of all time.
It's going to be, I reckon this will end up being one of the best series of all time.
We get to 97-all in double OT.
Double OT.
It's going to be 97-all. It's going to be a low-scoring game.
Ryan Anderson, 0 of 14 from 3.
Eric Gordon, 3 of 12. That seems like a right stat line for him, doesn't it?
Yeah. Hey, don't hate on
James,
Eric.
We're in double OT. We've got 2 minutes left on the clock now in double OT, right? It's 97-all, locked. We know that if you score 8 points in OT, you're effectively a winner.
Yeah, we've
to do.
If you score 8 points, the Rockets play. If you score 8 points, sorry, if you got an 8-0 run to start that, that's it. I see 2 minutes left, 97-all. I see Houston running out victors, 105-99.
What game is this?
Game 7, double OT.
So you're telling me,
I think that it's going to be an absolute battle.
And you think the Rockets...
James Harden at 97-all hits a 3. Flex the Spurs switch. Just like that break. I think that's how it's going to have to happen. If it gets to game 7.
See, the interesting thing is for me, today was the first time I have ever seen a San Antonio team look so defeated and bewildered by what was happening to them that they didn't know what to do. I have never seen a Popovich team look so lost. And I think that's the thing, you know, sometimes you have bad games, you miss a lot of shots, your rotations are a bit slow, but I think the thing that hurt him the most was the fact that their defensive structure just collapsed. And do you know why that was, Tim? Because the man who should be MVP but won't be MVP, James Harden.
It's not part of the narrative, James. It's not part of the narrative.
The man absolutely controlled every single possession of that Houston game, Tim. And I'm telling you, he is like the bloody maestro of the choir. He's, you know, he's a conductor, Tim. He points his little stick and everyone follows in time. And then when everyone's working together, it's a beautiful harmony, Tim. That's actually a beautiful analogy.
It's pretty good.
Everyone can, you know, everyone's in harmony and everyone's on time, but if Harden's a little bit slow on that and people are, you know, trying to guess what he's trying to do but they're wrong, everything falls apart. But I'm going to tell you, Tim, I've got three keys to the series, but I've got two key players that are not James Harden, because obviously James Harden has to be the key.
Yeah, I think we can agree on who is the key player for the Houston Rockets that's not James Harden.
I'm interested to hear who your take is.
The Wolverine. It's absolutely the Wolverine.
See, he's going to be important to the series, but I don't think he's the key to the series.
I'll let you go first, because you're a Houston Rockets fan, you know what's up.
Well, actually, there's three keys to the series, three players. So, number one, it's going to be Clint Capella. We've seen all year, Tim, LaMarcus Aldridge and Paul Gasol in pick and roll scenarios are just not good. They're just not good, and that's Houston's bread and butter. Harden and Capella in the pick and roll is one of the most dangerous plays we have. Anyway,
we're
nearly running out of time.
I just want to say, a Houston Capella pick and roll is not a pick and roll. It's Harden running to the rim, going, yeah, throw it above my head. Capella just goes, bang.
Anyway, number two. Trevor Ariza is very important to this series. Listen to me. Not only for his defense, but because I saw some stats. So since Trevor Ariza returned to the Rockets in this stint, Houston is something like 27-2 when he scores over 20 points. And those two losses, I'm pretty sure, came in the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago when we lost to the Warriors. If Trevor Ariza scored 23 points today, if he shoots threes, the Rockets are unbeatable. Because once he starts missing his threes, you know, team players sometimes are just like, oh, it's Ariza, I'll let him, you know, if he makes that, we're happy to live with that. But if he's hitting them, you have to close out on him. If you're closing out on Ariza, you're leaving James Harden open, you're leaving Patrick Beverley open, you're leaving Ryan Anderson open, or you're leaving Eric Gordon and Lou Williams by themselves, Tim. Splash, 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 splash. How they just fill it up, exactly like today. And my third key player of this series, Tim, is LaMarcus Aldridge.
No, he was terrible.
Exactly. That's why he's the key to this.
Why key is he's going to get destroyed?
The Rockets put him in the pick and roll, and he just, you know, he lost all his confidence, and he just looked a nightmare out there. It was a far cry from the man who averaged 40 points and 20 rebounds against the Rockets in 2013.
Do you remember that Child's Book, A Night Before Christmas?
Yeah.
With Jack Skellington and,
yes,
you know, Tim, what's his name? The guy who writes Tim something?
I don't know, anyway.
It's a bit like that for LaMarcus Aldridge. He's stuck in a never-ending nightmare where it's going to be Halloween tomorrow and he's scared. Like, it honestly is. The pick and roll holds so many fears for him.
But offensively, so what?
A couple of years ago, he would have been probably one of the better defenders on the pick and roll.
Exactly. But offensively, Tim, he's got to make his mark, because inside, he has the strength and the size to, you know, he should be getting every rebound over Ryan Anderson.
He bullies Ryan. And he should.
I saw a couple of tweets today. Someone said, can someone please go remind LaMarcus Aldridge that he's 6'10". He just needs to work inside on the paint. And so, honestly, San Antonio will control a lot of the game if he's controlling the balls. Now, Tim, quickly, before we have to go, tell me your three DFS plays, value for money.
I'm going to interrupt you right here and just say Patrick Beverley, yep. Patrick Beverley.
So Patrick Beverley was my number two on the list. Who's your number one?
You're not going to like this one. Kawhi Leonard is my
Kawhi Leonard was my number one as
well. Oh, really?
He does everything for the Spurs team. This is the most unbalanced Spurs side I've seen for a while.
He, you know, Tony Parker's too old now. Manu Ginobili's too old. There's too much reliance on Kawhi Leonard to do all the scoring. And he's going to, I reckon he'll average 30 plus for the series.
Do you know my third DFS important player is, James? You're not going to like this one at all because it's not a Houston Rockets player. Who do you think it is? It's going to be if it's not a Houston Rockets
player? Mine's James Harden, but anyway.
If it's not a Houston Rockets player, can you please just have a guess who it's going to be?
Paul Gasol.
Yeah, you're right. It is Paul Gasol. If he...
He looks in good nick.
Did he come off the bench today?
Yes, he did.
Good idea, Paul.
He looks in good nick.
Off the bench.
Oh, Nene.
He's shooting 50% from...
Strong man.
James, he's shooting 50% from three. Nene is not going out there. Yeah. He needs to close out on him too.
But that's the thing. This is why this is my favourite series. So far, there's so many fun matchups with Gasol and Nene, Harden and Leonard,
Battle of the Corpses,
Danny Green, you know, Patrick Beverley. There's so many fun players in this series, team. I'm just very excited to see the Rockets win it in six.
At the start of the series, everyone will be like, Nene and Pau Gasol, that's Battle of the Corpses.
Yeah, exactly. Battle of the people, grave, mate.
Battle of people who should have retired two seasons ago.
But right, Tim, I think we've got to wrap it up now.
Dez, we're going to go. So, how are we going to wrap this up? We're going to just go quickly each series who our DFS players are. So first of all, we started off with Cleveland Toronto, and we got with Serge Ibaka as number one, LeBron James as number two, and Norman Powell as number three.
Yeah.
Then we went to Washington Celtics. We went to number I said one. Washington's going to win in seven. You said Celtics in seven, so we disagreed on that one.
John Wall's number one, Isaiah Thomas number two, and then we split number three between Al Horford and Markieff Morris.
Golden State Utah, we were in agreement the whole way through. So we started with Draymond Green. We started with
Klay Thompson.
Actually, no. Did we split the third one? Oh, we said Joe Ingles. I'm not sure if you agree with me or not.
I went with Rudy Gobert.
So you went with Rudy Gobert. Now, the key difference was probably here.
We both went Leonard number one. Then we went with the Wolverine number two. I went with James Harden number three.
And I went with Pau Gasol. That's 12 players. Well, probably it's more than that, because we split some of the players. It's about 16 players. 16 players. Now, you can't get all of them in your DFS lineup, but you can whittle it down to, guess what, 9 players. They're not all going to play on the same day. You need to be picking... You need to have at least 4 of those players in your lineup.
Yeah, you have most of them. All right, Tim. You did a good job. Bang-up job of wrapping it up, Tim. Maybe you could grow to be a host of a fine radio show like this one day.
I am the co-host, James. You were another host, and you're at the same level as me. I provide the banter, you provide the real analysis.
All right, Tim, thank you for joining me on the Waiver Wire.
You made me a bit green.
My name is James. Your name is Tim. We can be found at the Waiver Wire 1 on Twitter. Make sure you're checking us out.
We share this radio show as a podcast after. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher.
Absolutely, we do.
Whatever you...
We'll catch you on Saturday. This will be repeated in about 3 hours' time. If you know, we don't see you then, we'll see you on Saturday. Have a good weekend have a good week and enjoy the Rockets winning some more games in San Antonio.